The mind is this huge data bank that stores vast amounts of information. And the mind is not necessarily the place you go to seeking solutions to the difficulties of life, because it doesn't have the wisdom chips. Our mind is not programmed with the actual wisdom chips. I mean, the emotions predate the actual thinking part of the brain by hundreds and hundreds of millions of years. I mean, the emotional repertoire that is within us has never really been fully plumbed. And I think that's going to be the next great movement in consciousness, is that we're going to actually look and realize that we are sitting on millions upon hundreds of millions of years of feelings that are shared by animals, that are actually inside in us, instincts. And, you know, feelings are so important. Thoughts are one thing, but feelings are vital. I mean, if you were to go out and do a survey of people and ask them, what would they want most in life? They will say, I want to feel happy. I want to feel peaceful. It's a feeling. It's not a thought. We crave the feeling. And for me, I have been fascinated by heart consciousness, which to me is a different consciousness to the mind, because the mind is set up to be bipolar. By that I mean dualistic, opposites. You can't have right without left. You can't have up without down. You can't have white without black. Opposites, discriminatory. And that's vital for survival reasons. This is safe. This is not safe. This car is coming too fast. Don't pull out. So the mind is very, very much to do with survival. And to me, it's an extension of the instinct to survive. I'm a little bit suspect about accessing that database to give me guidance, because it doesn't have the wisdom chips. Where the wisdom chips are is in my heart, because my heart is set up to be a place of oneness. Like, for instance, the heart is the place of non-judgment, compassion, balance, harmony, love, peace, spirit, soul. You don't have a good peace or a bad peace. There's only peace. So it's the place of oneness. So if you can access the energy of your heart, then you're truly doing something really, really powerful.
I don't necessarily think that all psychiatrists think the way you do. I'm wondering about the amount of reflexivity that they conduct in respect to learning from their clients. And certainly, like you said before, the systems constrain doctors. I mean, but doctors choose to live and operate within a particular system. In terms of modern day psychiatry, particularly in Ireland, let's just stay within the Irish context. I mean, you believe there needs to be some serious changes.
Oh, psychiatry in Ireland is at an all-time low. When I started psychiatry, I started with Professor Ivor Brown. Psychotherapy was so much part of what we were doing. It was so much part that when I got my basic degree in psychiatry, my membership degree, I went on and actually studied psychotherapy. And the idea of not going in the direction of psychotherapy was, it just seemed inappropriate.
Are you actually saying that there are psychiatrists out there who aren't trained as psychotherapists, even though their whole job is about listening to people and trying to in some way work through stuff with them?
There are over 300 consultant psychiatrists in this country, and I would say maybe 20, 25, 30 have qualifications in psychotherapy. It's the lack of scholarship in psychiatry that I find worrying, where if somebody comes, say, with depression, and the history is elaborated, and all the signs are there, yeah, this person is depressed, that's actually seen as a disease. And the person is treated accordingly, like as if you had a pneumonia or diabetes, and the person is given pills, and sometimes told that they'll have to stay on these pills for the rest of their lives. Where to me, what you're looking at when somebody has the symptoms of depression is the effect of a cause. There's a cause and effect relationship, and the cause of that person's depression lies in the way they have experienced life, how they've interfaced with life. Have they had a broken heart because of a relationship? Have they broken heart because somebody has died? Are they distressed because they may doubt their sexual orientation? Have they been bullied at work? Have they been sexually abused and something in the news is now triggering it? Were they abandoned as a child? And again, something in their lives is resonating with that. So to me, there's always a cause. And to me, depression is an emotion. It's natural. There's a legitimacy to being depressed. I don't see anything as more urgent than how we look at the mind. And I think psychiatry, I think psychological medicine, counselling, psychotherapy, all the different schools, we have to change. We have to become so conscious of what actually we're dealing with. That when you're dealing with someone's mind, you're dealing virtually with their spirit, with their being, with their soul. And no matter how severe the disorder is, whether it's a psychotic disorder or a schizophrenic disorder or, you know, a panic disorder, they're not diseases. These are states that people grow into because of experiences. And for me, the tragedy is watching people spending years on medication, watching people not getting well, watching gazillions of pounds going down the drain in drugs, watching research money searching for a gene. Just, we have lost control, really, of how we should approach the mind.
Can I just ask, I mean, you're sitting here in front of me, and you're as calm and as collected, and I'm just watching your body language, just very, very relaxed. I mean, surely to God, you're not always that relaxed. And can you just give me maybe two aspects of what maybe your kids would say about Dad, that maybe Dad isn't so perfect after all? Or maybe you are.
Gosh, their dad has made many mistakes, and I'm sure my actions have impacted on their lives. But to be honest with you, I have a very, very simple answer to that. Moment to moment to moment, I feel I'm doing the best I can with the resources available to me. I am not in the slightest bit judgmental of myself. I hold that for everybody. I think every human being deserves an Oscar for having done so well with their lives in the face of incredible difficulties. We give out more than we get back. I see people giving from the moment they wake up, giving to their children, driving them to schools, giving to their employers, giving to their employees, yielding in traffic, being kind, and at the end of the day, actually, you know, having given more than they have got back. And I see people who are doing all of that within relationships where there is no joy, where there is no love. And I'm in love with human beings. I think they are amazing. And I just think, as a psychiatrist, I'm so privileged to be working with people at the level of consciousness. My sadness, and you know, I feel very, very deeply. I mean, as I said, I could almost cry. I just feel so distressed that the service that people who are suffering from psychological distress are getting, it's a crime against humanity. It's ineffable. For me, I can't find the language to describe what is going down and what it means to future generations of people. Because if we continue with this approach of using drugs, of defining psychological distress as diseases, we're not ever going to come up with solutions. Because diseases have no meanings. Diseases do not have to be understood. So we're doing unspeakable damage. And I've set up this foundation called the Wellbeing Foundation, with part of it called Protect Your Mind. And I mean protect your mind in the sense of education. What our kids are being taught in schools, how they themselves take on the responsibility of protecting their minds by certain ways of behaving and certain ways of thinking and certain ways of feeling. I have seen so much suffering, particularly when I was in Africa and visits to India and visits to South America. This is the worst I've ever seen, is the way the mind is being related to. It is, to me, it is the greatest tragedy of all time.